Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.
We evolved in the context of small groups where, say, ranging from 50 to 150 individuals. In small group living with limited geographical mobility, you would have only encountered perhaps a few dozen potential mates in your entire lifetime. So what's weird is that we take this, you know, small group mating psychology where the number of potential mates is very limited and transplant it to the modern world where we have thousands and thousands of potential mates that we can keep swiping through. And it triggers this short-term mating psychology in a way that never would have been triggered ancestrally.
That's a clip from the 2018 documentary, Swiped, Hooking Up in the Digital Age. It's directed by Nancy Jo Sales. She's an award-winning journalist and the New York Times best-selling author of American Girls, Social Media, and the Secret Lives of Teenagers. It's safe to say that Nancy Jo has become one of the foremost authorities on dating in our digital age. Now she's out with her follow-up, Nothing Personal, My Secret Life in the Dating App Inferno. It details her personal journey through the emotional gauntlet of dating apps. She joins us now to talk about how these apps are rewiring our cultural approach to sex and dating. For example, Nancy estimates that some adult users spend 10 hours a week on dating apps. She says this isn't a healthy search for love, it's an addiction.
It's designed to be addictive almost immediately when you start using the app. And I did an interview with Jonathan Bedeen, who's one of the co-founders of Tinder, and he's the COO of the app at the time that I interviewed him in 2016 for the documentary that I did called Swiped, Hooking Up in the Digital Age. And he spoke, you know, very openly and almost proudly about the fact that it was very addictive.
We have 1.5 billion swipes a day. And I know a long time ago in the early days, I think I had figured out if the average swipe or something was, I don't know, like an inch or something. I can't remember how many times you could wrap around the earth with the number of swipes. And that was a long time ago. So I'm, you know, we might be on our way to Mars now or something. I'm not sure.
And that they designed it to be addictive based on this principle in psychology related to the work of B.F. Skinner, the controversial psychologist from, he's known for a lot of work that he did in the 60s and 70s. And one of the things that he did was an experiment whereby pigeons become addicted to a game in which they peck for food. And when they don't know when they will get their food, they get more interested and they peck, 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 peck. And, oh, I got food, peck, peck, peck. And then eventually they're just pecking to play the game. And that's like pigeon Tinder, because people are just swiping because they get addicted to that dopamine rush of getting your pellet of food, which is a match. And the screen lights up and it's, oh, you got a match. And your brain shoots, your pituitary gland shoots out this little squirt of dopamine, which makes you feel good for a few seconds or a second. And that's a little jolt. And Jonathan Bedeen, in the interview that I did with him, he actually described it as a, quote, nice little rush. You know, so it's like drugs, right? And so
sure.
I did get addicted, but that's really no different from anyone who uses the app. And that's kind of the point I was trying to make. You might not even notice that you are or realize that you are, but what do you call it when you are swiping on an app hours a day or at least hours a week? I mean, one survey said that people ages 18 to 35 swipe on dating apps up to 10 hours a week. And I'm sure I did that much, if not more. I mean, 10 hours a week is a lot of time.
It is. There's also kind of this sinister appeal to dating apps, isn't there?
I think one of the biggest concerns is that it's a bad faith proposition in terms of the companies. The companies, what they're marketing to people is different from what the apps are doing to people who use them. And they know this. I mean, they're the ones who designed them. They know what's going on. They designed them pointedly to have certain effects on people. And they do lots and lots of studies and data of their own. So they know what's going on. And what they say is going to happen is different from what they know happens. And what they say is going to happen is that you're going to find the love of your life. You're going to have a wonderful experience. You're going to experience the ability to find people who are good people. What actually happens for a lot of people is really quite different. The experience of using dating apps is not fun and does not make people's lives better. And we know that the majority of women on dating apps will see an unsolicited nude image. And that sounds like something, you know, that's like something that women have already been conditioned to be accepting of as part of dating. But it's outrageous, and it's actually a crime in many places, you know. So there's a huge problem with dating apps and sexual assault that is so under discussed. This is this weird, undiscussed reality that women and others who use these apps are experiencing that I wanted to write about, I wanted to talk about, because I also experienced it. And it was so at odds with what I was being told, we were being told this experience was going to be like.
Yeah, which makes me think of you asking the question, is the goal of dating apps really to help us find relationships, or is it to get us to have a relationship with the app itself? What do you think the answer is?
Oh, I think it's clearly the latter. That's the business model, right? That's another part of the bad faith proposition, is like they say that their intention is to find you love or at least a companion of some kind. But the actual business model is to get you to engage perpetually and as often as possible with the app itself. Use and usage is what drives these companies and all of social media, actually. The numbers, they need to get more and more and more and more numbers, which leaves less time for actually meeting people, talking to people, engaging with people in person.
In 2016, you started shooting your documentary for HBO, Swiped, Hooking Up in the Digital Age. And you say that while you were making this doc, you were simultaneously learning about yourself and your own behavior on dating apps. Can you give us an example?
Well, yeah, it was a really interesting experience because I'd never really done any kind of reporting before where I was experiencing the same things as the people that I was interviewing. You know what I mean? It's like you sit down and here's a 21, 22-year-old young woman or young man in front of you talking about things that they were happening to them. And the same things were happening to me, and I was in my early 50s.
I'm very aware of the sort of pressure and the need to like be manicured and like beautiful and have like a uniform Instagram feed that people will want to follow and pay attention to. I'm constantly haunted by FOMO. I can easily fall into rabbit holes where I'll spend hours just like scrolling through blogs that have these pictures of like beautiful, beautiful women that I'm never gonna be, and like these houses and these clothes and these vacations that I'm never gonna have. I don't have the greatest self-esteem, which is something I've been trying to work on, which is another reason why I've been trying to sort of like step back from spending so much time online.
And that's really why I would seek them out to talk about this stuff, because a lot of it was kind of upsetting. Like you had to talk to somebody about it.
Yeah, definitely. Very well said. I was very struck by your statement that the very design of dating apps can reinforce biases or sexual racism. Can you explain that?
Yeah. This isn't talked about nearly enough. It's not that no one's reported on it. It's just it doesn't become part of the major conversation about dating apps, and it absolutely should, which is that there's a lot of racism on dating apps.
Yeah. No, like they never seen a black woman before.
They say no blacks, no fats, no like, it's just like that. Like, it's exactly like that. If you're chubby, they be like, no fat women, no blacks, no Latinos, only white, only 18.
There's a few aspects to this. One involves the algorithms, and one just involves the failure of the dating app companies to monitor the apps. And the latter is that a person of color can go on a dating app and see in the profile of someone who might come up in their feed something racist. People also are ableist on these apps, and they are fat shaming. So that's the non-algorithmic way that this goes down. But the algorithmic way that it happens is that The algorithms are your matchmaker. What the algorithms do is they, if you swipe on certain people, like they show you more people like that. They tend to reinforce racism, racial preferences in dating, which I think is just another form of racism. It's just like a nice way of saying racism. It's still keeping certain people talking to certain people. It's still like a Jim Crow kind of algorithm that says that these people should date each other here and these people should date each other yeah. over here.
Yeah. And yeah, that's not good at all. What you've just told us, that's something that shouldn't be happening. What do you think is the biggest problem with online dating?
The biggest problem is that it's not safe. And yet it's become somehow something people agree to put up with. And I don't think we should agree to put up with it because there's so much that the dating apps can do to change that. I mean, they should vet people. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many other things they can do, but start with that.
How do you think dating apps will evolve?
They won't evolve until they have to. There are a couple of congressional investigations. There's one into age checks. That dating apps do not have age checks. It started before COVID, and I don't know the status of it right now. They're going to have to do age checks at a certain point. I mean, they're like children hooking up with adults and being sexually assaulted, and this isn't some kind of overblown myth. You can Google it. And they're also having a problem with grown-ups being sexually assaulted and raped. So they need to change. They have to change. I don't think they're going to change until there's real pressure on them to change. I really think that politicians have to get involved. There needs to be a serious investigation of this industry, and politicians need to act to protect users because the dating apps will not do it.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right about that. Nancy Jo Sales, thank you very much. It was great talking to you. Congratulations on your book and your documentary.
Thank you so much.
Nancy Jo Sales is the author of Nothing Personal, My Secret Life in the Dating App Inferno. She's also the director, producer, and writer of the documentary film Swiped, Hooking Up in the Digital Age. You can find out more about Nancy and dating apps at wpr.org/beta.
There can be so much pain and shame and guilt and all that stuff attached to mental stuff that we can bear down very hard, and it did on me.
Comedian, TV writer, and radio host Tom Sharpling joins us to talk very candidly about being funny while struggling with mental illness. And we'll take a look at the career of cult filmmaker Jim Jarmusch. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.